Mary, can you tell me a bit about the changes to the Constitution for ANB-ANS that came about recently in the Grand Camp meeting?
The changes in the Constitution were brought forward to all the camps 30 days prior to the convention for us to review. And we, in Klawak, met with our ANS Sisterhood camp and had them read the Constitution and give us direction on how they wanted us to vote, to support it or to vote against it. With the amendment that was proposed by ANS Executive Committee member Mary Guthrie, which included the Alaska Native Sisterhood into the Constitution, which puts us under one constitution to govern both ANB and ANS.
What was it like before? How did ANS relate to ANB? Did you have a separate constitution, or was it a sort of an auxiliary group, kind of like various auxiliary groups to organizations around the country?
We were an auxiliary group, but we also had our own constitution. It wasn't as explicit as the brothers was, because, you know, the ANS started after the ANB had already formed. And I'm not sure, I think it was like, was it 2 years after that the ANS became part of the convention?
Okay. And what's the important, or maybe describe what the importance of this is. What does it mean to have now both groups under the same constitution?
Well, it's brought us closer together as a unit, so that all our steps from the day we supported and voted in the new constitution with the amendment, we are working together in one direction, and that's in the positive direction, to better the health, education, and welfare of the people.
Does ANS become on more of an even footing in terms of governance, that sort of thing, with ANB as sharing the Constitution at this point?
While we have all the same guidelines, voting, in the election process, it's all equal. And it hasn't changed what ANB and ANS is. ANB still is an entity by itself, and the ANS is still an entity by ourselves. And that's one of the important things that we need to make sure that everybody understands, is that although we're now together under one constitution, we are still separate entities.
So I guess maybe a question people would have is, what's the practical effect of the change? How would members notice the difference, or tribal members or members of ANB-ANS, and notice the difference in your approach to the mission of the organizations? And anyone's welcome to jump in. I don't mean to just focus on you. It's all you.
Well, I know Sasha had some good words to say, Marvin, last night. So
okay, Sasha or Marvin?
Give them. I think where I see the real value of consolidating under one constitution is that it allows the sisters to participate in heavy discussions regarding Native issues as a whole rather than as independent entities. And I'm real excited that the fact that, you know, the sisters and brothers, when we meet, that we can discuss these issues and come up with solutions. And we're real excited about that. And I think the whole delegates during the convention was really upbeat and positive. So we're real excited about that new development.
And Sasha?
Yes, one of the histories that if you've been an ANB, ANS member most of your life, this path that the development of uniting under a single constitution came in a very convoluted way. Most of the ANB and ANS members know that when it comes to working at the local camp, one of the keys to working at the local camp, it allows anyone who joins, who is a part of that organization, to work towards the benefit of everybody. It provides the most basic services. It came through a time period when most of the camps had no water. Most of the camps had no one to talk about that were struggling in this society. And 100 years ago, the forefathers saw that there was going to be a bridge necessary so that this organization could function and help the members at its most basic level to do all of those things which we're living through today. What really is a wonderful thing that took place is that sometimes word on the street is very different than what is actually happening at the Grand Camp. And the word on the street was when the Constitution went through is that the A&B is gone. We're no longer, and the A&S is gone as well. And that couldn't have been farther from the truth.
You mean just after this change?
Just after this change.
Recently, yeah.
The absolute historic vote that the Grand Camp took was to adopt that as amended. And it came with overwhelming support when it came time to actually enact what was going on. And when the vote came through, I turned to my older sister, because we're from Camp 76 Tenneke, and I said, you know, this organization has now evolved back to what it really should be, and that's to help those at the local camp level who are invited. And so that's kind of what is unfolding now, this historic visit that we came here to Petersburg Camp 16 to install our officers was very, very significant because of a lot of things. They're doing great work, but they're also recognizing the fact that at the Grand Camp, we're able to come and be supportive of those things that Camp 16 have been working, and there's been a struggle. Camp 16 is working to do and answer those needs, and what unfolded at the installation last night is my prediction, is going to be a very typical experience because this organization called the Grand Camp of Alaska Native Brotherhood Sisterhood is evolved so that now if you're a member and you see the needs that are there, you have a vehicle so that it can be addressed. 100 years ago, the vehicle, many of the tenets that they had were absolutely true, and they're still true today. They're still fighting the fact that sometimes you can't vote in an election, in a municipal election or a state election. They're still fighting for the fact that there are some things that have to be overlooked in health care. They're still fighting with the fact that some of our children are really not being serviced by the best tenets of what the society has to offer. And at this state, this particular organization, the Alaska Native Brotherhood and Sisterhood, is the only vehicle that can say to all of the federal agencies and all of the state agencies, listen, we have this declared and defined need, and we need your help to help get this solved. Because at this point, it developed into a whole different thing. The land claims went through in 1970 and totally caused a whole different focus to go on. And to a certain extent, the leadership vanished. And it left the camps locally to fend for their own selves and pick up the pieces that was going on. And now with this particular constitution coming through, it has provided the platform so that need can be answered. And that's absolutely what's historic happening now.
Does this change, kind of mark a resurgence of leadership and more leadership and more activity for A&B A&S, do you think, after now 100 years?
Yeah, I believe that there's a significant change going on in the Alaska Native Brotherhood Sisterhood right now and in a new direction. And I believe that there's an empowerment on the local level in the local camps now that are standing up and recognizing the importance that they bring to the Grand Camp Convention and to the Alaska Native Brotherhood Grand Camp as a whole. And I think that's really what we're seeing now, is that the local camps are really being empowered and recognized that, you know, it's up to them to shape the future and the direction that the Alaska Native Brotherhood is going.
Brenda, I'd like to ask you to chime in for a minute here, and either mic is fine, whatever you're comfortable with. Brenda, what does this mean at the local level from as a local officer?
Well, first of all, I think one of the important things that I see Alaska Native Brotherhood and Alaska Native Sisterhood offering to our community members is that in today's world, we have become very compartmentalized with cell phones and texting and emails, that we don't see each other sitting at the same table and sharing our needs with each other. And I think that the unification of our community members, whether they're Native or non-Native, who participate in our meetings, our activities, and our events, find that as a means to connect in a positive way. And, you know, we don't have any crisis or, you know, dire needs at this particular time, but by unifying community members, if something should happen, you know,
to address it, if there's this particular issue,
address,
that sort of thing.
To address something that is, you know, important to our community, then we've established a sense of community with the Alaska Native Brotherhood and the Alaska Native Sisterhood. And our camp is not unique in that there are other camps who operate the same way that we do, but here in Petersburg, the Alaska Native Brotherhood, the Alaska Native Sisterhood join and operate together. So we have one bank account, and we make joint decisions on expenditures or missions or tasks. So we operate as if the Constitution has been in place already. So, you know, making adaptations to how we function is actually not even a consideration, because we operate that way already. And because we're a small community, you know, we started out as a small group, and as each year goes by, we find our numbers growing, and we find that we are getting a younger population coming and meeting the needs of the newer members.
And I wanted to ask also, or mention the fact that I think a lot of people don't realize that ANB ANS is open to, you don't have to be a tribal member, Native person to join the organization. And I wonder, does that reflect the fact, at least in these modern days, that people have so much more in common than they have apart, I guess? Is that part of the idea that you can work together on these issues, whether or not, you know, you're a Native person or not?
That is one of the interesting dynamics that has evolved in this process of getting the Constitution in place, that allows the two groups to do just what was indicated in Camp 16, because it's not a restriction in terms of saying, well, you can't join the ABNS because you're not a tribal person or you're not from there. The Constitution is really very clear that it puts the focus to answer the need that's going on in the local camp. When I was just a young kid, and my mom and dad were active in the Alaska Native Brotherhood and Sisterhood, it was during a time when there were many of the most basic of services were non-existent. And those were the needs that needed to be answered, the least of which would have been not only to worry about water, sewer, and garbage, but the least of which was to have to do with health care and what could be improved on it. And then on top of that was the recognition that there needed to be something that had to do with the land base. And that's when the Alaska Native land claims went through, and the forefathers were absolutely right on the mark when they said, we have to do some things to preserve this. And so what has taken place now in this 21st century, it's 100 years that this organization has responded to that, and now it's taken on a different shape, because it still gets back to the each of the camps that are represented have members to do and rally around and become unified so that they can address the real basic issues. We were talking about subsistence last night, just as not a matter of, hey, we're going to settle this issue, but The mere fact that someone came in and had subsistence for us was one of the key issues in today's world, is a very hot topic. And in today's world, with all the texting and electronic things that are going on, we still have that only means of surviving in the rural places to get what it is that you have to live on, the fish, the berries, the deer meat, the moose meat, all of those things and how you preserve it. And so it's taken on a whole different level. And to be encompassed and embraced by the Alaskan Natives Brotherhood and Sisterhood is a logical move. It's something that there were pro and con about both sides, because they were kind of fearful that that one might be more than the other. Correct me if I'm wrong, I remember distinctly that the people who really ran the Alaska Native Brotherhood was done in a very delicate balance. The sisterhoods controlled the purse. They were the ones that said, this is what we do, and it was the brotherhood's job to move the tables, to go out there and dig the clams, to go out there and get the fish. And it was a very delicate balance, and no one really made a big deal about it until Title IX. And you remember the discussions the camps went through about Title IX.
Just for the listeners, the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act, Title IX, the subsistence clause.
And that put it at a whole different level in today's world.
Guaranteeing a rural preference.
And if you talk to our honorable people at the state level, we talked about this last night, they consider us to be all Alaskans. And, well, that's probably true, but I think I can safely say this to everybody in this room. We were here before 59.
And, maybe not me, but...
And the mere fact that you're able to have this kind of understanding about the basic need of feeding your family, feeding what happens when it comes time, Mary, the Grand President of ANS, face this issue right off the bat. We're having the Grand Camp in Kloak, and we need to have this group fed. We need to have this group taken care of. And she went and asked. And in today's world, I'd say, I don't know if you had to fill out the 10-page form that said you were going to do everything according to the EPA standards and you had to have all the permits available. I don't think she had to do that.
No. All we did was write a letter to Department of Fish and Wildlife and said we are hosting the Grand Camp Convention, the 99th Grand Camp Convention in Kloak, and we need some deer meat. They said, write us a letter and put down the names of the hunters that are going to go out and get it for you. And we did that, and they were given the tags, and we were able to feed the convention.
I want to ask, as you approach the 100th anniversary of ANB-ANS, ANB I know formed first and then ANS after, but as you approach the 100th anniversary of the organization this coming year, I guess maybe just a brief thought from each of you on kind of what are you looking forward to? What is your focus personally? And maybe Mary, we'd start with you.
Well, I think we started on our trek to unite all the camps in a positive direction by coming to Petersburg and participating by invitation to their installation of officers, so that the camps have a face that they can associate with and say, oh, I know who that president is, I know who the treasurer is, I know who the second vice is, and who's the sergeant at arms. By us being here, my goal is to go forward in a positive direction with the ANB Grand President, Dennis Demert from Kloak, working together with our officers to ensure that when it's time to sit down at the convention in Sitka, that we have everything in place that needs to be done. And in the early weeks of April, the MV Christian has offered to take us on a camp-to-camp visit.
That's a vessel out of Wrangell, the charter vessel?
Yes, it is. I think he said they're going to be based out of Petersburg.
Oh, okay.
And so we were offered that opportunity to go and visit, and what I would like to see us target is the camps that we're not able to make it this year, to let them know that we are here and to help them in any way to prepare to attend the next convention. We would like to see 100% delegates show up from each camp. So I see that as a goal that we can achieve.
Sasha?
Madam Mayor, Chris, that's a tough act to follow, but we in this room that represent the Grand Camp have a crystal clear opportunity that we recognize, and that's to do the things at the Grand Camp level so that we can be helpful to the local camps. There is an absolutely clarity of kernel of what happens when you get right down to what do you do if you're if you're a member of the sisterhood, or what is it that you do if you're a member of the brotherhood. What you do is that you do all you can to fulfill the need at the local camp level so that they can do and live their quality of life in the best way in today's world that can happen. And I've never found any other group, any other organizations. I have been, in my career, I belong to a lot of organizations, but the ANB and ANS is the only one that can say, you know, I think we ought to do this and honor some of the people in our camp, like the elders. We heard a beautiful story of how Camp 16 pulled that off here in Petersburg, and that's exactly what this organization does. It capitalizes, and in today's world, can go to any state or federal or organizational that they can use to help accomplish whatever that can take place and ask them for it, and can not only ask but receive the assistance and the cooperation. I don't think the Anxious Corp can do it. They're in a whole different world. I don't know if the school districts can do it, because they're in a whole different world. I'm not so sure that there are other social organizations that are politically inclined to do that, because they have their world to do it. But the Grand Camp, AMB, and ANS is the one that can go, and if need be, go to the governor and say, Governor Parnell, we have this thing, and we would really appreciate it if you would give us some consideration to help and deliver. And in today's world, that says a lot about the organization. Sure, we have the name of the ANB and ANS well known throughout the law and the land of the United States of America and in this honorable state that we reside in. But what doesn't have to be said is the fact that we know how to do what we can do. And our role as Grand Camp officers is to go to those camps and say to them, you are still what keeps us going. Let us know what we can do to be of help for you. And it's taken that and embraced in the new constitutional change that has taken place. And that's the beauty of this 21st century, is it exists so that that can be implemented.
And Marvin?
I think the 100-year existence for the Alaska Native Brotherhood in 2012 brings a great opportunity for the Alaska Native Brotherhood to educate the communities about who we are, how we are the oldest civil rights organizations in the United States, and kind of empower the Alaska people and Alaska Native specifically about who we are, and recognizing, you know, some of the work that we've done. This is a great opportunity to go out and get the governor, get all the different ANCSA corporations, get them all united together on this great, great 100-year celebration. And I think that's, you know, one of our missions is to do that.
Brenda?
The next 100-year celebration to me is about my three grandsons. It's about the next 100 years. I know how to subsist. I have raised my children on subsistence foods, and I want my grandchildren to be raised on subsistence foods, and I want them to be empowered as Alaska Native grandchildren to not only learn how to do that, but perpetuate onto the next generations as well. And I think that the constitution that served the Alaska Native Brotherhood and the Alaska Native Sisterhood for the last 99 years speaks for itself. It made many, many life-changing events in the last 99 years. And I think in the next 99 years, this constitution will hopefully have the same kind of historic significance that our great-grandchildren will look back and say, ah, I remember my grandmother and I remember my grandparents going out and believing in this and making it so that I can live this way and have these values.
Anything anyone wants to add that I haven't asked about, Mary?
I was just reminiscing as I was listening to when I was growing up, and I wasn't taught to speak our language, the Tlingit language. My mother, 2 weeks before she passed, she said, I want to apologize to you for not teaching you how to speak our language. She said, because I was punished for speaking my language. I was put in a closet and was beat with a ruler if I was caught speaking in our language, and I didn't want that to happen to my children. And I remember when the schools opened up to Johnson O'Malley and Indian education, and that came about because of the ANB and the ANS and the work of our elders who have taught us how to be what we are today. I have always said that everything I am and everything I will be, I learned from my mother. And I'm proud of that fact. I want to also include that besides the ANB and the ANS and the local presidents and officers, we also have the junior ANB and ANS, and they have their own little elections, and they have their own presidents, and when we meet, they meet with us, and that's our way of guiding them to learn from us and to pay attention, especially to our mistakes, and let us know what they think, you know, of what we're doing. Is this something that is going to benefit the children when we talk about education? So I encourage all the camps to get their junior ANB and us involved and to bring them to the convention for the 100-year celebration, because this is, as Brenda said, all about them. It's not about us. It's not about me as ANS Grand President. I am honored to be given the privilege to serve as the Alaska Native Sisterhood Grand President. That tells me that at the convention, the camps that were there had enough faith in me that I would be a good leader. And so that's my goal, is to listen and then to carry out the directions that the local camps are giving us. We learned a lot today. Got some good ideas to take home to my own local camp on how we can fundraise because of coming to Petersburg. It's an honor to be here.
Marvin?
Yeah, thank you. One of the things I'd like to share, and I think it's really important, first is the local camps. I would like to see them empowered. I would like to see them engage more when the local elections. I'd like to see them utilize the tools available to them on the local level, specifically the radio station. You know, I'd like to see them do meet the candidates forum and discuss Alaska Native issues, whether the school system or whether the local government. I'd like to see them bring issues up regarding culture in the school system, Alaska Native culture, the languages. There's just many things that the local camps can do on a local level. Specifically, we in Anchorage, Camp 87, had a Meet the Candidates forum last April, and there was 17 municipal candidates running for elections, and we had an Alaska Native Brotherhood Meet the Candidates forum. Of the 17, 15 showed up, and it was a two-hour live broadcast, and it was excellent. The real message here is not only did they participate, but it really sent a strong message that the Alaska Native Brotherhood is listening and is aware of what's going on. So when they go back to their meetings and stuff, they know that, they are listening, and it's important to consider them when they're making their decisions. Also, I'd like to, see the local camps engage into the school system, and find out. And all of us, not just the local camps, but the Alaska Native Brotherhood. One of the things that I feel is real important is, the incarceration rate for Alaska Natives in Alaska. It's just atrocious. We represent 14% of the population, but we've got 30 to 40% of the incarceration in Alaska. And it's unacceptable. These are some of the issues that we have to address. The dropout problems, across Alaska. Alaska Native Brotherhood has to step up. We have to make a difference, and that's our mission. That's what we're going to be doing in the next year. So,
anything to add, Sasha?
Yes, thank you for this opportunity, and I think your listeners, those of you who are talking and listening to this organization, are going to smile when you hear this. It is with great honor that we come to Camp 16, and on behalf of my mom, Genevieve, sisterhood member for all the time when she was here on this earth, and on behalf of my dad, Walter, who was a lifelong member of the Brotherhood, we have been hosted by Camp 16. And the significance of it is, I didn't hear last night some of the things that I often heard when we were growing up, and that would be to say who you are, because the moment you say who you are, people know. And one of the gifts that was passed on to our family through this organization, unbeknownst to the organization, is the names that we carry. We have a Western name, Sasha Sobolev. Have an Indian name that was given to me by people who were coming to our family home in Juneau. And I happen to have Andrew P. Hope's Tlingit name, Gagushde. So coming to Camp 16 with the name of one of the founding fathers is a real honor. And we are so happy to be here to participate, especially those of you listening on the radio, that this organization is aware and knows the significance of the names that you are, the places that you represent, and it's one of those wonderful things that you're not going to find in a book. You're not going to find that in a video that's happening today, but it will come to you because someone took the time to tell. This is why, with such respect and such honor, that we came to be part of Camp 16 and its installation. And that's one of the things that would be often said at any camp meeting you would go to in this organization, no matter what the town. And it was an absolute wonderment and a magnificent exercise that we went through last night to show that on behalf of our families, our clan ties, our representatives, that we came to help a local camp come alive. And it's my really firm conviction and goal, just like Marvin and just like Mary, that this is what we have to do. We have to be here for these camps and encourage them so that they can not read about it, but actually come down to the hall and experience this thing that has been transmitted now for 100 years into this next 100 years. And that's the beauty of the organization, is that we will. And so on behalf of our family, thank you for allowing us to be part of this, because it says a lot about how the organization has evolved and how the organization is going to continue to be an impactful, meaningful piece in the children's lives that we have. We as kids were affected that way. And now we have this opportunity to take the reflection back and say to the different camps, this is where it's at.
I would like to, you know, add to what Sasha says about, you know, Camp 16 and how gracious they were in hosting the installation. I specifically like to thank Raymond, the cook. He did a great job. And the people were just friendly and very, very gracious to us. So we are honored and delighted to be part of this installation and thank them deeply from the bottom of my heart for their for outpouring and support. Also, with what Sasha says is, you know, we do have Indian names, and my name is Kanaish, and I'm with the Kushkaquan, Siskoit, Owl House, and Yakutat. So that's who I am. Kanaish.
Maybe we can end on that if you'd each like to give your name. And Sasha, I think, if you wanted to maybe repeat, if you wouldn't mind.
We have several names that we go by. In the Western world, everybody knows by Sasha Sobolev. But it's absolutely astounding to me that when we're in a meeting and you introduce yourself, I was in a power conference for Central Council in Saxman, and Mr. Williams, who was the then Joe, is a direct relationship to Andrew Hope. And when I got up and introduced myself as Kagushte, he looked at me and I said, "It's good to see you, brother." And it had a whole different meaning and level of understanding. Because when you say your name, they know who you are, who your clan relationship is with your mother and your father and your grandma and grandpa, what geographical area you come from, and what that means to hold that name so that it can be presented at other meetings. And so in the Tlingit tradition, and in that style, it is a whole different thing than just saying, "Yeah, I have this card, I want to share it with you," and the business card goes here. But the moment you say your name, Kagushte, all the old-timers shake their head. "I understand."
And Brenda?
Well, of course, my English name is Brenda Louise, and my Tlingit name is Tlekauk, and I'm a member of the Tongass tribe. So I actually have a lot of fun with the meaning of my name. Tlekauk means small berries in a basket. And actually, I think it's why I always get myself in a jam.
Mary, maybe we can finish with you.
Of course, my name is Mary Brown. My maiden name is Smith. I'm from Klawak. I am a member of the Raven, Dog Salmon, and Woodworm clan. And my Indian name is Agina.
Thanks, guys, for coming in today. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having us here and giving us this opportunity. Kanaish.